Morning. Oh, do I need to do this? Okay. This morning we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4. My main verse is going to be 4:8. So I'll read that first, and then I want to go back and fill it in some. So 1 Timothy 4:8 says this: "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." So we're going to get into this, and hopefully I can bring it around to where it all goes together. I'd like to say that if you go back to the first part of this chapter, the first chapter, and we read a little history, I guess you'd say. Really, Paul here, the more experienced apostle, writes to young Timothy. And Timothy is facing, well, you might call it a heavy burden of responsibility, which it is, in the church. For the task is great, and false doctrine must be erased. Okay? And open worship must be safeguarded. Mature leadership developed. These are just a few of the things that Paul was wanting to reveal by this letter to Timothy, some of the things he wanted him to come about. Let's go back to chapter 4, and I'll read from the start. I'll fill us in a little bit, then we'll talk about it. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." See? "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." In our verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that it now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." So, what we see here from the beginning, we see the apostasy of things to come in the last days. And Paul wants to make sure that Timothy knows the right way as to be able to lead others in that same way, the right way, the word of God. So by seeing Apostle Paul's forecast these last days, the condition in which men will find themselves as the age draws to a close. We know, right? We see it. It's happening everywhere, all around us. Even in the church, Christendom especially, and even in grace meetings, things are happening. People are falling away because that's what Jesus said, there would be a falling away. Prophesied, and it's coming true. And men, hungry hearts don't seem to be very plentiful in this time. Now you would think that seeing the time, the times that there's got to be something better than this that's around us. And there is, right? It's Christ, serving our Heavenly Father, staying in His Word, getting to know His Word. You read God's Word on a regular basis, you come even closer and closer in fellowship with our Lord. That's what He wants. He wants a close-knit fellowship with us. And you cannot be close to the Lord if you don't get into the Word. And the same thing that we've heard over and over, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, you know, Sunday nights, whatever, that you really, it's very important to stay in the Word. If you don't, you'll be led astray. Mm-hmm. Even as a believer, mm-hmm. you'll be led astray. Not meaning that you're going to get out of fellowship with the Lord, but you just won't have time to fellowship with the Lord. Because other things in this world are going to keep your attention. And then later on, as you drift away from the Lord, it also, your heart drifts away from Him also. So it's really important to know the Word of God and stay in it. You know, all these scriptures we've all read over and over and over and heard them, been taught and heard them spoken many times. But if you go back to the first verse, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. And that's exactly what's happening. They're departing from the faith. What faith do they have now? If they're departing from the faith of God and Christ Jesus, what faith are they leaning to? Where are they going to? Because I guarantee you there's no... I just don't get it. But anyway, we know Satan's working double time and overtime and everything else to get believers distracted and to draw them away from the rewards that they will receive in heaven. And what is the greatest reward you could receive in heaven, right? To be in that bridal company. Do you want to reign with the Lord? You got to be an overcomer. Goes on down and says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So it's really a bummer here, I think. They've laid this out before. This isn't the first time Paul's talked about it. It was like that in his day. Think how much greater it is in this day and age. More people, more sin, more falling away. And you would think it'd be the opposite. There'd be more wanting to receive the Lord. So I will say this. Notwithstanding, so now we remember what was in verse 1 through 3, right? So it says, notwithstanding all, so notwithstanding all that Christ has done, the prevalence or widespread of evil, it will be enormous. Not because of any failure in God. God sent His only Son. God provided it all. Jesus went all the way. But because the church has failed to be the channel. Today, a lot of churches failed to be that channel through which His saving help and power by way of the Holy Spirit could reach mankind. Because they're not preaching the Word of God. They're just talking. Saying whatever they think the people will want to hear. Whatever will draw them into these big assemblies. It is kind of sad. You know, the symptoms are set forth with great clearness. Are they not? Such as demon spirits dwelling and working in men. Here's the big one too. Error taught under specious guise of excessive religious devotion. Consciences seared, natural instincts thwarted and outraged. So let us believe that the whole body and all spiritual gifts are to be cherished through Christ and under the living God. Our life is special to the Lord. He loves us. He knows everything. He knows what we go through here. He knows everybody's pain, everybody's thought, everybody's heart. He knows it all. And all he wants us to do is serve him. No other. Only God. And Christ has provided our way and the right standing before our Heavenly Father. Christ has provided the way back to God. I think it's really important. So let's turn to Matthew, if you would, or you can just listen. Matthew 28. Of course, these are Jesus' words, red letter. And this is when, after Christ has risen. Let's start up here. 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Right? Some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christ is with us all the way. He went to the cross. He suffered. He died. He rose. And all that believe in him rose with him. Why would you doubt what God has provided through our Lord Jesus Christ? So he commands his disciples, teach, go out, teach, reach the people, spread out, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. Very sacred thing. Doesn't seem too hard to do that. But the problem is, you got ones that go out and preach the word, the true word of God, but then now we got, probably in that day too, and in this day too, that don't preach the word of God. So they're not really going out and doing what Jesus wanted them to do. So, I think we'll go back to verse 8. Our chapter, I'll read it again. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. So, what we're going to cover today is just stuff on the body, the flesh, and the reason why it don't profit very much. Okay? And we see in verse 8, Paul uses, like Jesus did, to point out using the Greeks as an example. In his time, the Greek games and exercise was a big thing. The Greeks were noted for their games, and that's where we get our Olympics from and all that, and they just went all out. That was their whole life. And they philosophized and everything, but they really, really liked the games, and they practiced, they trained and everything like that. But it's really, what's it worth? What's it going to give them? It's worth nothing. Might be a little profit in there. I'm not saying you can't do exercise with your body. You've got to take care of your body. The Lord wants you to take care of it. You know, how you eat, a little exercise ain't going to hurt you. It's good for you, good for your heart. But it really profiteth little compared to the spiritual profiting that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They are temporal. Very temporal. You know, I see people work out all the time when they're young. Man, they work out like crazy. You might not see them for 5, 10 years. You see them again, and man, they're just out of shape. They don't look too good. So it doesn't last. It's something that just doesn't last. And the reason why is because it's self-glory. It's nothing but self-glory. Glory in the flesh, it doesn't do you any good whatsoever. Arlene said it over and over. Jack has said it over and over. Gordon said it over and over. Everybody I've ever heard say, talk about it, is worth nothing. That's filthy rags, I guess. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Not very far away. We go to 1 Corinthians 1. We had this a little while back. And I want to start in, let's start in verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And it says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's all about God's glory. It has nothing to do. We don't have nothing to glory in. Except to save the cross in Christ Jesus. It's all because of our Lord. He deserves all the glory. It refers to this in, as said, as is written. So Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. You'll find this. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, you know what? Let's just go back to real quick. We got time. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, I said 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Right? Very clear. But let him that glorieth glory in this. He understandeth and knoweth me that I am the Lord. Not too hard to figure out. And we'll go, I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15. Verse 22. Now, this 22nd verse of Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, comes as Samuel is speaking to Saul, because God rejects Saul at this point. And you know the story. And in verse 20, it says, Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of the fat of rams. So he flat tells him, right? Burnt, you can do burnt sacrifice, but see here, Saul was given the commandment of the Lord what he was to do, and he didn't do it. Then he turns around, he tries to blame somebody else. He blames all the other people, but he was king. And because he was rebellious against what God had commanded, God took him out. He wasn't no longer king. He went out to get a new king, which we later know was David, a man after his own heart. You know, I was thinking about David. He said he was of a ruddy complexion or whatever. And, you know, they talked about Jesus being the same way, right? He wasn't comely to look upon. You know, they didn't think he was looked like a king or whatever. Well, there's a reason for that. Your glory goes to the Father. Jesus was serving his Father. And all you got to do is believe. Jesus was the real deal, and people just, the Jews hated him because he could outsmart them because he was God in the flesh. He already knew what was going on. So they couldn't, they tried many times to trick him, but they didn't do a very good job. We turn to Psalms 50. I know we've been in this not too long ago on Sunday nights. Psalms 50, I'm going to read verse 7 through 15. This is just talking about, my heading says, God does not need sacrifices. What God wants is us to yield and dig into his word and serve him and honor him and give him the glory for all things, because you know why? He owns all things. He owns everything. Verse 7, hark, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Let's see. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God wants us to glorify him. And the easiest way to glorify God is to get into his word and know who God truly is, and what he's provided, truly provided for all mankind. Okay, I want to go to Romans. Very familiar thing. I just wanted to read this because we always, what am I doing? At home, I study out of one Bible, and then I got another Bible I look at, and then I got this Bible. And this Bible's newer, and it's hard to get the pages to turn. Okay, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what God wants your body to do. I beseech you, let's go back up here, because there's therefore in here. Okay, verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or your rational service, or your faithful service. right? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will be done, whether you want it done or not. God's in control of all things. It's much easier for people of the world to just know that God is our Heavenly Father. He owns it all. And the exercising of the body, what he's talking about here, using the body, you're to treat your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Don't defile it with things of the flesh. Don't defile it with sin. A lot of times, you know, things happen. We all still sin. But, you know, there's times that you know better to do it. You know. A lot of times you know better than to go sin or do something wrong. You know better. If you don't know, get the Word of God first. If you can't get to the Word of God right away, then pray unto Him. Ask Him to give you wisdom, to lead you. God's not going to lead you into some horrible sin or some corner where Satan's got you trapped in something. He simply wants you to serve Him completely with a whole heart. Jesus says this in John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are life. I hope you're close. We're going to go to Isaiah. I'm sorry I didn't put this in a little better order. I already typed it out. I didn't want to go back and change it, so I'm not very good at typing, so it takes me a while. So Isaiah 40. 6 and 8, chapter 40. Well, let's go to verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is as grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Think about that. How pretty the flowers are, but they fade out. The grass, it burns up and blows away. That's what people do. They burn up and blow away. Because they do not want to serve God. They don't believe in who Jesus is. It's kind of sad, isn't it? I think it's a sad deal. It bothers me. I have members of my family, my own son, that just does not want to know about Jesus whatsoever. You mention the name of Jesus to him, he gets all mad and angry and don't want to hear it. He says, I don't want to hear it. And I did try to force the issue a little bit, and he even got more angry. So I let it go. And so what have I done for the last 21 years? Pray for him. Right? Now, it may be true we don't have a relationship, really. But, you know, as much as that hurts me, my first priority is to my Lord. As much as I love my son, I'm not going to let him hinder me from what God has for me. I want all that he has. I want the best. I want it all. I want to hear that trumpet sound. Romans 8:8. Says simply this. And we did this song down here. Verse 7, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." See that? Life and peace. Pretty good thing. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this." And he says, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Because of our Lord Jesus Christ defeated it at the cross. Cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I know you start with John 3:16, but maybe we should go point out to them that the flesh cannot please God. I don't know. Just a thought. So, I got one more verse I want, a couple more verses I want to read. And this is going to be 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, if I ever get there. First Peter 1, 24 and 25. Well, let's see. Well, I want to go up here a little more further, I think. Well, it says in 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in" where? "In God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Think about that. Liveth and abideth forever. God's not going anywhere. People are going to go someplace. They're either going to go have eternal life with our Lord, or they're going to have eternal death with Satan and his angels, whatever, followers. Very simple choice the way I look at it. What do you want? 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass." Here you go, "the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But remember this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Has nothing to do with any man or woman that stands up here and spreads, talks about the word, or teaches the word, or preaches the word. It's about the gospel that is being preached unto you. If that gospel is not being preached unto you, then I would do one of two things. I'd plug my ears. I'd get up and leave. I'd go somewhere where the word is preached. And I'm here to tell you, I went to several churches when I was younger. I couldn't find anything that was satisfying. But the Lord was faithful, and I wasn't, but he led me anyway. And he loved me anyway. He knew my heart better than I know my own heart. And he led me here to be taught, to give me understanding. I was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there's nothing better than that, except going and serving, reigning with our Lord. Right? And so, people just go to these places and hang out on Sunday and you think, yay, I did the right thing today. I went to church. But the right thing is to know the Word of God, to serve the living God. Our God's not dead. Jesus died and rose again. And we are with him. It's important to know. And you know, it's important to be reminded all the time, I think. It is for me. I like to be reminded daily because, you know, if I don't, I get wandering off over here doing something, and before I know it, I forgot about the Lord that day. But ask yourself this, did the Lord forget about you that day? We belong to the Lord no matter what. Once you're saved, you're his. But does he forget about you? No. But do you forget about him? Yeah, maybe sometimes. We're not perfect. By golly, this is the key. Staying in the Word of God. Serving him. Praise the Lord. That's all I have. Any questions or comments?